Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Priceless Podcast. This podcast is made in partnership with the European Forum of LGBT Christian Groups. Subscribe. Look at my little self, and he will show you where to subscribe. Like, share, you can comment after you've seen this video. Also, you can follow us on Facebook and on Instagram. And please consider supporting this podcast with as much as €3. You can make a change and help this podcast to continue. My guest today is Lucia Marković, and I'm so happy that I have a guest from Croatia. She's actually the second person that has been to this podcast or on this podcast, because I'm the first one from Croatia. So Lucia, hello and welcome to the Priceless Podcast.
Hi, and thank you for inviting me.
I'm so glad that you accepted. As I said in the interview with Tanya, who was from Bosnia, I'm really glad that I can find some people from this region, but also from, let's say, Eastern countries. Not everyone in Croatia would agree that we're from the East, but we are. So I'm glad that we have more people from the Eastern countries or from the East of Europe. So I will start with telling you a few words, and you can answer, react to these words with one word, or you can elaborate if you would like to.
Okay.
So the first word is sexuality.
When I think about sexuality, the first word that comes to mind is exploring, freedom, a right to be myself.
Identity.
Something that's crucial for me as a person. Also freedom, and love.
Faith.
Journey. Spirituality. I would say that's it.
Church.
Oh. darkness, pain, trauma, tears.
Humor.
Joy, laughter.
And the last word is leisure.
Peace. Enjoying myself. Nature. And happiness.
Thank you so much. So first, I would like to ask you, how do you identify with your sexuality and your gender identity?
So I identify as cisgender and a lesbian.
So let's start with something juicy in the beginning. How did your family react to you coming out as a lesbian?
So, my parents are divorced, so I had two separate reactions, I would say. I never really told my mom, like, directly. We never spoke about my sexuality, but she realized it through, like, my sister, my stories about, like, friends. Like, I was in a relationship with a girl. I always told her, like, about really close friends that I had. But I think she realized when I actually moved at my dad's place. So when I went to live with him, that's when my relationship with her really, it was getting worse. She's really homophobic, so she doesn't really accept that I'm a lesbian. She, like, knows it, but she's like, no, it's something, it's a phase, and it's something that she has to pray about, it will, I guess, leave my body and soul. So I don't really talk with her at all, almost at all. And my dad was really okay with it. He actually congratulated me when I told him that I'm a lesbian. He's really supportive. So yeah, I'm really glad that he's like a really strong supporter of that part of my identity.
How is it for you that you are estranged from your mother?
Well, I kind of got used to it after some time, which is really sad, but I think you just have to learn how to cope with all those emotions. It really wasn't easy. I was terrified at first because when I realized I was lesbian, I still lived at with her. I knew that I won't really be able to live my freedom and to be free and to explore my sexuality if I'm at her place, if I'm living with her. So it was like this constant war in my head. She is also very, very religious, so she was always insisting that like our family has to go to church and I would have to be present at church meetings and yeah, everything that that was connected to church. It was really hard for me because I was really like, we had this special connection, especially because when they divorced, I went and lived with her for like entirety of my life. And I always shared my emotions with her. I was like, I have two sisters. I'm the middle one. And I think I was always the most emotional one. And I had like kind of the deepest relationship with my mother. I was really overprotective. I thought that my, like, my dad was the one to blame for their marriage ending. When that bubble bursted, like, it was like, oh my gosh, I don't have that security anymore with my mom. And it was like I stopped having a mother because I was left alone. I was given a choice, like either I can return to my fate, pray and read Bible and go to church, or I can like continue my liberal lifestyle, but then I wouldn't really be able to have a connection with her or a relationship because she really insists on having a personal relationship with God.
What I hear, this separation from your mother is kind of like a protection for you, that you had to do to protect yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I really had to cope with a lot of emotions. Recently I started to go to therapy, which is really great. I'm really proud of myself for finally starting that journey. But yeah, I had like major events in my life when I came out of closet. Yeah, it was like that event is by itself really stressful and it can be traumatic and it's just hard, especially when you are losing members of your family that are really close to you or were close to you. So yeah.
You said at one point when I came to realize or accept myself as a lesbian. How was that process for you of realizing that you are lesbian and accepting yourself?
It was stressful, for sure. But it was also very liberating. I used to be really religious. Like I had this anxious relationship with God, I would say. Very fearful and very obedient. It took a long time for me to finally give myself a chance to even think about, oh, maybe I'm not straight. When that happened, the first thoughts about that were in high school, but I really wasn't ready to explore that topic more. So I was like, I would pray and I would pray against those thoughts. I would like pray for God to kind of remove them from my head and heart. I never shared that with anyone because people in my church were really judgy. And I think they would probably tell me that it's like a demon or something, and I would probably have many more problems than I already had in that time, just being a teenager. Yeah, I was like trying to deny it all. As I was getting older, I felt the need to be more open and the need to be like more liberal, and to be actually like rebellious, because I was never given a chance to be rebellious. I was always like, I would be taught that you can be rebellious, you always have to be obedient, God doesn't allow it. Like, yeah, you won't go to heaven if you're being like that. I went to university, I studied social work, and I met all those people who are really liberal and open-minded, and they're accepting, and they openly speak about LGBTQ rights. Some of them are actually queer. So it was like my first time that I was in direct contact with the topic and with the people who are also queer. I wasn't able to deny it anymore. And so I was like, I saw this, what happened. I really clearly remember the moment when I was like, oh my gosh, okay, this is it. So I was on Instagram, and already I started to follow more liberal accounts. I would be like, okay with queer people, with pictures that show queer people and gay love, and I was like, I would like it and stuff. Well, secretly, because I was afraid that my church members would realize it. But what I saw on Instagram was a picture of two women getting married, and it was like a really beautiful picture. So they were a lesbian couple. My first thoughts when I saw the picture was, oh my gosh, I wish I would be able to do this. I wish this was me. And in the first moment, I was like so scared. Those thoughts were like, oh my gosh, did I really think about it? And then I realized that, okay, this is like, it's something. I have to explore it. I have to give myself a chance. And that's like the moment where I started to really educate myself about this topic, and really I was really like starting my sexuality journey and exploring it. And yeah,
That's why you said exploring when you said sexual, when I asked you about sexuality. Yes, it makes sense. What about your church? What happened there with you accepting yourself? As much as I know, you went to a very conservative, charismatic church.
Yeah, it's an evangelical charismatic church, yeah. I think I was 12 when I first got there, because I was raised in a Catholic church. But then my mother, she had this friend, and she started to talk with her about this church, and she really liked it. And so she was like, okay, from now on, we're going there. It's like this church is different. It's like a place where you can meet God really, like in its truest form. We started to go there, and I met a lot of friends. I had a lot of connections there. I can say that it was like a home for me for one period of time. But then it started to be a burden for me. It was really like, I felt like I never would be able to truly be one of them. I was never good enough, actually. It was always, it was something that bothered them. I was too rebellious, because I would, like, I never realized why a woman must be underneath the man, like why the Bible is so patriarchal. I would talk about it pretty openly. And I think that's why, I think that was because my parents were divorced, so my mother would raise us. I mean, she raised us. And most of my life I was with my mother, so I kind of really had this feeling of, I understood how important women's rights are. They never liked that. They really would tell me that it was dangerous to believe something like that, that God had his divine plan. And but I had good moments also there. I had many friends. I had like really beautiful connections with God. that I appreciated, and it was also like a source of strength for me in like difficult times. But then it just became something that was, it was just too much for me. I had to stop going there.
Yeah, I mean, it makes so much sense when you started talking about questioning the whole role of women or the way that they portray the role of women.
Yeah.
Because you were with parents who are divorced and with a mom who had to do everything.
Yeah.
There was no man in the house. So it's, I just like this perspective, you know, where you see where they're talking, oh, a woman should be underneath a man and the man should be, is kind of the head of the house or their home, but there is no man. So what are we talking about? Yeah, very interesting. What would you say was maybe a hard experience, but you find very transformative for you in all of this process that you went through of self-acceptance, of realizing you're lesbian?
Well, I would say the coming out experience, that was like, it was a process of accepting each and every part of me and just giving myself freedom to be me and to explore what does it really mean, because I really wasn't able to do so in so many years, as I was the part of the church, and so I would live my life by the rules that the church really was telling us to how to live. I think that was like the hardest experience that I had, because coming out meant losing so much, like losing my mom, losing at one period also my younger sister, because she was also homophobic at first. She is now okay with my sexuality, and she's a supportive, but at first she wasn't. So I really lost all of my friends because I had to do a choice, which was either I am leaving the church and I am literally leaving it all behind, or and going forward with my life, or staying there, but staying in that terrible box, little terrible box that I can't be, and where I can't be myself, and I wouldn't be able to fight for my rights, fight for the rights of LGBTQ people or for women's rights. So I think it was really like a big lesson for me. I've gained a lot and I also lost a lot, but I wouldn't change a thing, really. Yeah, I think it's really precious because I didn't really meet a lot of people who were part of this kind of church that's really charismatic, that's really like, you're really into it. Like, you're not like a bit hot and then a bit cold. You're just really, God is my everything. Like, I would pray every day. I would really like go to the meetings for young people, and I would do things in church, like help and volunteer in some activities in church. So it was really, my whole identity was structured around the church and what actually the teachings there were. Yeah, I think it's actually amazing to be able to talk about it, because it all happened actually like 3 years ago. It's actually recent, I would say. I'm proud of myself for enduring it and for like fighting for myself.
So what about your faith? How do you feel? I mean, you left this church. How do you feel about faith in general, or where are you on your faith journey? I think you mentioned when I asked faith, you said journey or something.
Yeah.
So where are you on your faith journey?
Well, I would still consider myself a spiritual person. I'm not a Christian. I wouldn't say that. But I don't know, it's really hard to describe where I am at. I believe in some kind of energy, and that nothing that happens is like a coincidence. I wouldn't say that. I do believe that there's something bigger than us. But yeah, I would just say I believe in love that's not the love that is described in the Bible. although there are also like there are nice verses about love even in the Bible. Yeah, it's really hard to describe. It's a journey. It's every day I learn something new. I'm really open for everything, really. Like I love to learn new things about religions and beliefs. I also really liked astrology when I first went out of church. That was something that I really never was able to explore. It was something demonic and satanic and whatever. I really found it interesting when I was able to explore it.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you say astrology, something I always remember is when one of my friends, and he's from the church, who said, but he's also pretty open-minded, and he said, I don't know why we make so much fuss about astrology when the three wise men were actually astrologists. You know, they were reading in the stars that Jesus was born. Like, what are we talking about? So just a short funny story. But yeah, what you say, you know, sometimes we can't really label where we are, and it's a journey, and we don't have to, and I can so much connect to what you are saying, because I don't know how to define myself as a person of faith. I don't know. How do you see the whole process of accepting yourself and also changing the way you see your faith and the way you have a bigger freedom to explore faith, life in general? How do you see that this changed your perspective on life?
It definitely made me a more empathetic person. Like I was able to connect with my emotions much more. I'm definitely much more open-minded and accepting, like in general.
Can I just say that I love that you first talk about yourself? I love, love, love. Yes, connecting to yourself, that's so important, having empathy for yourself. Please continue, but I just had to say that I love that you mentioned yourself first.
Well, I think that that is because the teachings in the church were so toxic and so, yeah, they were so toxic that, you know, everything that I learned was how to deny myself, really, and how to not how to hate myself. If you go like in the depth of all of it, it's the teachings of how to become less me and more, you know, Jesus, God, whatever. And so I was taught how to be able to not listen to myself. I wasn't able to really hear myself or see my needs and really like feel what my needs are. So that was like a major part of my deconstruction and faith journey, that I would reconnect myself again. I just really learned how to hug myself and how to enjoy that hug. Yeah, I became more aware of importance of self-work, just education, and the importance of really fighting for yourself and then for like the LGBTQ rights in general. And it was like it became a source of my strength, just like church once was, and the teachings of the church that I thought are really wholesome and something good for me. I realized how toxic they were, and I found my true strength, I guess, true sources of my strength.
Beautiful. I mean, I just love that image of giving yourself a hug and loving it. So You know, it almost came to me at the same moment when you said that I wanted to say, oh, please, dear viewers and listeners, so I'm actually inviting you. Please give yourself a hug. You can at least imagine it and give yourself love, because that's, I think that's so important and so amazing what you said. I want to touch a little bit upon, and please tell me if that is too much, but when I asked about church, you said pain, sadness, tears.
Yeah.
So when you think about church, what do these words actually describe that brings you pain, tears, and sadness? Does it still bring pain now? And what is this that is still causing you pain and sadness and tears?
I mean, there's still trauma and like this events that happened and the situation that I was in. That were really traumatic. I experienced a lot of spiritual abuse, actually. That's like really a topic that I think we have to speak more about it. It's still painful, but I'm more angry. I'm really angry at church because they don't realize, or they do. I'm not sure. I hope most of them don't realize how much pain they're doing to so many people. It's just this injustice, and that's something that bothers me, because it's so unfair to treat queer people like they treat us. It's so unfair to say that you are believing in this person that is love, in Jesus who died for your sins, and in Holy Spirit who is everything to you as a believer. And then when we talk about queer people, there's so much injustice, and they treat us like we're garbage, actually. I mean, they come to us and they tell us you have to change your sexuality. It's a sickness, or it's not you, it's a demon who is trying to do whatever. This level of unaccepting behaviors and hatred is terrifying for me. I used to think that church was a safe place for everyone, and it's really, really not a safe place for everyone. It's a lie. So I would say I still find it hard to accept, I can't really accept the behavior they have towards queer people and women. I'm like in this mood of, you know, fighting and really rage, because what I endured wasn't right and it wasn't supposed to happen. I had this relationship with a guy in that church that I was in, and I was 16 or 17, and it was a short relationship, but it was so traumatic that I don't think I will be able to forget everything ever. Actually, that guy was also in church, and we were like dating, and it really started to become very emotionally abusive relationship. So it was like, I really wanted to go out of that relationship. The problem was that person that I was in relationship with was emotionally unstable, and he started to manipulate, and he would say that he would kill himself if I would break up with him. And so I went to this person who was like a leader in church. He was like on a leading position, and I told him everything. And what he did was he connected us with a youth pastor from another city in Croatia. And he would perform this, like, it was exorcism, but it wasn't exorcism. He would cast away spirits. But the problem is, everything was an evil spirit for that person. Everything that was seen bad in the Bible, for example, I don't know, the exploring your sexuality, or yeah, being intimate with someone before marriage, it was all a sin and it was all a spirit, an evil spirit that had to be cast away. But also like lying or smoking cigarettes, there were people who had like an addiction and they would smoke cigarettes and they were also sent there, well, willingly, but I don't think they really realized what that is. So that pastor would pray for them and they would cough and they would, I don't know, had this like, they would have these manifestations of the evil spirit that would then like leave their body or whatever. And so I was also sent there with my boyfriend in that time. I was really clear, even when I was 16, I was really, really clear back then. I said, I just want to get out of this relationship. I don't want to see him. I'm afraid of him. I don't trust him. And I want it out. But I don't want him to kill himself. That's the only problem I have because it's terrible. I don't want that to happen to him. They really insisted on staying in a relationship with him, although they knew everything that happened. They were like, oh, he's like, he has some problems, he has to deal with it, but like, you have to be supportive, you have to forgive him. And that pastor actually prayed with both of us. We had to sit next to each other, which was terrible for me. I had this traumatic response. Even when I just was sitting next to him or when I saw him, it was like, I don't want to be near that person ever again. They were just like, no, it's, you're young, you can like endure it, you can, you know, we will help you resolve the problems you have. That's a godly relationship. You will be like a great example of God's love and power. And so it was really just, it was unbelievable. That was like the experience that really was, oh my gosh, the church is, it can be a terrible place. Although I was still into the church and believing all of that.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So after all these experiences, yeah, with everything you went through, accepting yourself, what would you say Lucia today is? What?
I would say I am powerful, free, and bold queer who is not afraid to be herself, to love herself, and also to learn how to love others around me and to accept them.
Amazing. I have to ask you, do you maybe have a funny coming out story? Something that, I don't know, maybe coming out or in all of this process, maybe something funny happened to you that you would be willing to share with us?
Nobody really asked me that before.
Really? Yeah, we always talk about so many serious things.
I would say that when I first started dating girls and I started to go out and like on dates, that was like the first time that I also started to give myself permission to drink alcohol. So it was, I view it as like a really nice and, yeah, like a nice time for myself because I was finally able to be relaxed. And so, I don't know, I would do some crazy things. It wasn't crazy, but I would.
Crazy for you, as Lucia before, compared to Lucia before.
Like, I don't know, I was supposed to go on a date with this person and I changed my mind in one like moment because I had a really great time with another person that was a really good friend of mine, but it was also a person that I started to get feelings for her. We had some alcohol together and it was like a great night. We played some games and we just had a fun night. In one moment, I was like, please, can you just write a message to this person? Because she also knew that girl that I was supposed to go on a date with. it's a small world. So I think she actually told her, like, in my name, that I wouldn't be able to go on a date. It was just funny back then. So
Yeah. The time of exploration and realizing. Oh, we can have fun.
Yeah.
Yes, that's great. So is there anything I haven't asked you, but you kind of think, oh, this would be really interesting for people or maybe important for you to share while you're telling your story?
Like, my message would be that you can find yourself and your community and a way to be yourself. It just takes time and effort and really actually believing in the process. I would say that today I'm really thankful for everything that happened. I'm in a committed and beautiful relationship. I'm really happy with her. She's also a spiritual person, so we share that part, which is beautiful. When I used to go on dates and when I just had like queer friends that weren't really spiritual, or they weren't like opposed to it, but they weren't really interested in exploring spirituality, or they just didn't have a need to connect with that energy or whatever you want to call it. In one period of my life, I was really like desperate and a bit sad, because I thought, okay, I was able to get out of the church and to start living like myself, but I still miss the spiritual part of all of it. Like, I don't want to be completely cut off from it. So I was like, will I ever find a person that will also understand that part of me? And would maybe, I don't know, go with me on that journey of the faith journey and exploring other beliefs and religions and just spirituality in general. And then I found my current partner, so I can say you can have both of it. Like, you can have, you can be queer, you can also be a believer, you can still care about your faith. There are people that are also believers and queer, so that's amazing. Both of those identities are valid.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. Thank you for being so open and vulnerable about your story. Thank you so much for accepting my invitation, my question, actually, when we met at this one round table in Zagreb. So thank you again. And thank you, dear viewers and listeners, for being with us today. This podcast was made in partnership with the European Forum of LGBT Christian Groups. Don't forget to subscribe. Look at him, what he's doing. And like and share this podcast with people who might be interested. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. The last thing, please consider supporting this podcast, because this podcast relies on donations from individuals who have a big heart and help me continue this podcast. So bye, everyone. See you in the next episode. And bye, Lucia. See you also sometime somewhere.
Yes. Thank you.